Welcome once again. It's World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye, and Horse Feathers from Portland, Oregon are our guests today. Formed by Justin Ringel, he first performed with multi-instrumentalist Peter Broderick, and they recorded the 2008 album House with No Home for Kill Rock Stars. But now, after Broderick's departure, he has a full dedicated band that recorded the new CD, Thistled Spring. I started out our session by asking Justin if things improved with Horse Feathers becoming a full band.
You know, it really did. It was kind of a, it was definitely a change, and I really enjoyed actually having three other people in my band as opposed to just one or two. Yeah, it's been great thus far.
Well, now this album has been being compared to House with No Home. Is sort of that was kind of the winter album, and this is the spring album. I mean, you look at the songs, you know, there is This Old Spring, there's Starving Robins, there's Belly of June. We're kind of moving through the year. Was there something about when you wrote the songs that had to do with that, or is it some other point in your life?
Well, it... what had happened is I started writing a lot of these songs at the beginning of 2009, and I just moved in Portland, and I wrote a bunch of this material, and it was only later and in kind of a backwards-looking way that I kind of realized that there was this reoccurring theme and mood, and that's when I started to attach some of the concepts to the music, and it ended up being kind of about spring, only after the fact.
Gotcha. Well, it's interesting because the words thistled spring. Now, what I know from thistles is that they're kind of spiny and they attach themselves to you, and they can be a nuisance. And I was wondering what that means to you.
Well, I think on one hand you have the concept of spring, which I think is definitely. Of all seasons, I think definitely the most hopeful, or rather maybe forward-looking. And at the same time, it also definitely has this kind of underlying element of the winter still attached to it, and also kind of this maybe a darker or, I don't know, more, I mean, just a gloomier element, too. And maybe some of that is partially because I live in the Pacific Northwest, where the spring really it blooms, but it's still very dark until about June. So I have to admit I might have been influenced by my locale.
Gotcha. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I want to talk about your locale now and your locale where you grew up and all that, but we should hear a tune. What do you want to start off with?
This first tune is actually Thistled Spring. We've transposed it to guitar so we can play it on tour and not take a piano, but... This is Thistled Spring. No old love of mine to wed the worst man she finds. Blossom that's bloom. The house that's a tomb, trapped in the road of danger and fumes, bit by the spring, hurt by the thing, played by the memories that brings. Somewhere in the rules lies the stakes. Bit by the spring, hurt by the thing, plagued by the memories that brings.
Horse Feathers are our guest today on the World Cafe, and that beautiful piece of music is how This Old Spring, the new album, begins. You know, I mentioned I want to talk a little bit of geography, because there is a plethora of sort of folk-inflected bands from Portland, Oregon. And can you see how that has happened? What the influences are there that makes that it's kind of these bands gravitate there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is kind of, we kind of live in a city that has been reclaimed from a forest in a way. And I think that that definitely is pretty influential. At least, I mean, we live within, like a city that you can, you know, you can see Mount Hood, and there, I mean, the city feels almost like a park. So the natural world is kind of part of everyday life there. And I imagine that has some stake in it. You know, it's definitely in some way probably influencing that.
There are many gorgeous areas all over the place, but Portland is particularly gorgeous.
Right.
And as many people have said, you know, Portland, you know, it rains 5 to 6 months out of the year. So you're forced to be inside a lot of the time. And given dark gray, rainy weather all the time, it kind of sets you in a mood that I feel is conducive to folk music.
It is easier to be, I'm sorry, to be introspective there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, so we can give a little credence to geography affecting the music, but I guess the other aspect where with all that kind of those kind of bands there, there's an audience, because I would think sometimes when you guys originally went out on tour, because you were even quieter, Justin, when you started out, it must have been a bit of a juxtaposition with some of the bills you were on.
It certainly was. It was very interesting. I really felt when I first started doing this stuff in 2004, the folk thing really wasn't quite as novel as it is now. I think that it's got a lot larger audience than even then. And when I first started doing it, I was really searching for the right community in Portland to play. You know, I was doing open mics and I was looking for that. And when we went on tour, it was the same thing. We weren't paired with a lot of bands that were of a similar ilk, you know, like we'd play on rock bills, you know, but these days it doesn't happen that much.
Gotcha. Well, now you're originally from Idaho, which, you know, you talk about what Portland's like. I would think, speaking of the natural world, Idaho would just be resplendent, but also very isolated. Did you feel that way growing up?
You know, I did. I grew up in Lewiston, Idaho, which is kind of the city of the area I'm from, and it has about, I'd say 30,000 people there. But it is very isolated, and most of the state is somewhat inaccessible, and those happen to be the most beautiful part. So I think oftentimes people don't realize how beautiful Idaho is, because it usually just drive through the southern part of it, which is mostly a desert. But Idaho has also influenced me personally in terms of the music that I make.
In what way?
It's such a different feeling. Idaho has a different feeling of space than Oregon. I grew up in a river valley, and you know, it's just there's just a different type of feeling. And I kind of felt that way. I hearken back to it on a couple of the tunes on this record. I thought about home a lot in a tune, "The Drought," which is I think the sixth track. Just the feeling of it reminded me of home and kind of like dryness, you know, and just the arid feeling of Idaho. But
it sounds like it's a part of Idaho that's more like eastern Washington State, which is kind of that way too, right?
It is. It's right. I grew up right on the border of Washington.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Horse Feathers are our guest today, and we're hearing some of the new tunes from This Old Spring. And is that one you can do, or do you want to do another one?
This next one we're going to do is actually called "Belly of June." It's also on This Old Spring. ¶¶
you leave her alone. He's telling your boy you don't know when to go. Sad enough, she sang this song. No longer young, lazy in life, her age makes her stumble. Don't call on me, paltering and pale. Sin on your mind, get under your nails.
Horse Feathers live on the World Cafe today, and glad you did that one. That is Belly of June, another one from Thistled Spring. I'm glad for a couple of reasons. One of them is I wanted to talk about the banjo because my understanding, Justin, when Sam was about to be part of the band, you made sure he played the banjo.
I asked him if he played the banjo, and he told me that he played the banjo.
In a very loose sense, I did at the time.
Yeah, I mean, he could both spell banjo, and he owned one.
Yeah, I did own one. That's the first step, really. I'd been a guitar player for a long time, and I was just getting into banjo, and I actually saw Horse Feathers right after I moved to Portland, and I was like, oh, this band is awesome. I would love to be in a band like this. And it kind of fueled my passion, actually, for learning all these bluegrass-style instruments. And then, so I basically had a fantastic opportunity. And if I had been like, no, I'm really too bad at banjo to even try that, then I would be very remiss today. So,
well, you know, it's interesting to me because this sort of, you get labeled chamber folk sometime, and I guess that's because, you know, we obviously have a cello and a violin in the band. And how did you see the sound of a banjo kind of balancing things out? It's interesting.
I'm a big fan of banjo as an instrument, and I hear it in all kinds of songs all the time. But I actually think that the juxtaposition of the banjo with the string arrangements, I really like the sound of it because it offers a rhythmic element against what the strings are doing, and oftentimes in terms of sustain. And I just think I just really enjoy it. I love the color of the banjo overall in a tune.
Now, I was reading something kind of interesting that when you were in high school, you were playing a completely different kind of music, and it was more, I guess, what we would call something you might hear on Kill Rock Stars, other than sort of their folky side of things.
It's true. I was a big fan of actually the band Unwound when I was in high school that was on Kill Rock Stars and various other bands in the Northwest, which at the time was the most readily available music to see live. I kind of changed it up though since.
Well, you know, it brings up an interesting question about regional music though. You know, because you say those were the bands that you had a chance to see where you lived, and you, I'm not, you know, you weren't like locked into where you live, but nowadays, you know, every music is everywhere, and I'm wondering if you hear any regional tendencies in out there.
I would say definitely along the lines that we were discussing earlier, where the physical environment will influence you to some extent. And then I think there's an element of pride that different groups have, like maybe a little bit in Portland in the Northwest, but I know places in California, wherever, like in music and other things, people like to be part of a scene or feel like they associate with a movement, which is much easier to do with people who are around you.
Yeah, right. And I feel like from the musician's perspective, there's a certain extent of regionalism that applies to your writing style. But I feel like nowadays with, you know, music all over the internet and, you know, you can get almost anything anywhere, from a listener's perspective, regionalism to an extent has kind of been lost.
I totally agree. I think that was one of the most exciting things about growing up in the Northwest and there being all this music. And maybe this will date me somewhat, but before the internet,
back before the internet,
I had to, you know, go buy records in the record store, and people had to tell me from word of mouth like what was good, and you know, I'd have to drive to Portland and buy the records, and it wasn't as easy, and I felt it also made it also simultaneously more special, and things stayed in the Northwest that wasn't exposed to the rest of the country. And now, of course, things are completely different from that. But it was kind of exciting to kind of experience the last gasp of that, I think.
Horse Feathers are our guests, and we have come down to having time for one more. What would you like to do?
This last tune we're going to play is off House with No Home. It's an older tune, and it's called Working Poor.
Thank you.
Working Poor, a live performance from Thistle Spring, our guest today on this World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music, which is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia. If you would like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions, we have streaming audio of almost every one on our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thank you for spending your time with the World Cafe.